Well, good to see everybody this morning. Glad to have you guys here. All right, so we're good to go. Today I want to give you a daily to-do list. I don't know how many of you like them. I saw people kind of commenting. I do too. I saw some people commenting about ADHD yesterday. The older I've gotten, the more I have suspected that whatever they describe that as, that I have a little bit of that. And I need to-do lists to kind of keep me focused on getting things done. Otherwise, I tend to kind of wander on to a new thing or the next new thing. And kind of gives me a thing to, okay, I got to get, these are the things to focus on today. And so I write them down. I write them down on paper. I don't use, I have them typically in my phone as well, but I write them down on paper every morning as also a memory tool to, these are the things that I want to focus on today. And I think for us as Christians, a lot of you have mentioned that you have liked what I started using a few years ago was, as I get up in the morning, I try to remember first thing in the morning that I'm not just getting up and getting dressed, but I'm putting on Christ to remind myself that I walk with Christ all day long. Well, I think kind of as I was looking through a lot of passages this week and some of the passages I want to look at today, I think I have to add to that list more things that I need to do on a daily basis. A reminder of these are the things I need to do. And so just kind of read this passage here in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And so he's trying to remind us that every single day we need to focus on renewing ourselves, making ourselves new. It's not in the flesh. No matter how much you work out, you know, get physically fit, your body will still deteriorate. You can hold it off. You can be in better shape longer. You might live longer, but you can't stop what will happen to your body. It only will last so long. But our inner self is eternal. It doesn't have a fixed end date. The only question is what's going to happen to that eternal soul of ours when we leave this flesh. And so when we consider every single day that I need to renew it, and thinking about Christ, I have found to be a really great help to kind of approach the day. And when I fail to live up to Christ's calling and proper behavior and attitudes, it's because I have become moved away from God and love and His grace. And I've been caught up in the trials and the difficulties of this world. And so when that happens to me is when I realize that I fall. And it's true, I think, for most people. The more stress, the more anxious, the more issues and the more difficulties we have around us, the more often that we are going to stumble and fall and not fulfill that which Christ called us to be. And that is different from ourselves. Not that we are not still us, but that we transform from who we were into the image of Him. And that is a lifelong process. It doesn't happen in a moment. We are converted or changed in the blink of an eye to go from somebody in the world to somebody with God and to be one of His adopted children in His household. That happens in a moment. But the transformation happens throughout our lifetime. And there is never an end to it. And so every day, and so I have some passages that I think might help us see that and to see the kinds of things that we need to remind ourselves every day that we need to practice. This is what I need to do today. And I deal with that, I'm sure, just like all of you do. There's so many things that as we go to work or we interact with neighbors or people, you know, at stores, or that there are things that frustrate us. There are things as we drive on the road that frustrate us. And sometimes those frustrations take us away from godliness. And so it's a reminder every day, our daily to-do list of renewing ourselves in Christ. And so I want to back up just a little bit from what he talked about there when he talks about so we do not lose heart in verse 16. And he says, though our outer self is wasting away, and he's kind of referring to what he wrote about earlier. And going all the way back really to verse 5, he says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And so he's talking about himself and those who are teaching and preaching Jesus and who are preaching and teaching the gospel. But he says, and it's not us we're proclaiming. We're not talking about us. We're talking about Jesus. He is our Lord. He is Lord and Savior of all mankind. And he says, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, Paul wrote. For God, he said, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so Paul was helping to shine the light of Jesus Christ, but he was shining it from jars of clay, he talks about in verse 7. And he says, but we have this treasure, or this light that he referred to earlier, in jars of clay, and that's our body. Clay comes out of the ground, you make clay and you mold it into any, you know, the shapes of bowls and things, and you fire it in a kiln, and you have pottery. Well, our bodies, God molded from the clay as well. But we don't have pottery, we have our flesh. And so he says, but this flesh, it's weak just like that pottery. That pottery which can so easily break. And you're like, oh, if you drop it, you know, if you got some nice pots and been that have, you know, usually really nice pottery costs a lot of money. And when you drop it, you're always afraid of somebody trying it. So if you have really nice stuff, you don't let the kids touch it, right? If it's expensive, you try to put it someplace out of reach so they don't touch it because you know how often kids drop stuff. And so you let the kids use the Tupperware and you let the kids use the Corning hardly ever breaks because you know they're going to drop it. But what's odd is that this great treasure, this great light, God is shining it. He gave it to jars of clay to shine it out into the universe. And that's who we are. That's who he was. We are jars of clay that ideally shine the light of Jesus Christ and proclaim him wherever we go. But we do that not just with our words, we do that also with our actions, our behavior, our attitudes. And so, I don't know how many of you have, you know, obviously lots of people are sharing right now a lot of prejudice and racism they see, especially towards black people right now. But and obviously, they're not the only minority in this country that have experienced prejudice. Other groups have as well, but the focus has been on the experience of black people in our country and the difficult time that they have, because they kind of have all of the normal issues of life that every other person has, but with one kind of extra. And there are other minorities that have those things as well. And I understand some of those from a little bit of a distance. I don't know how many are really aware. My grandmother is an American Indian. My my family on my dad's side believed she was fully a Cherokee, who was fairly light-skinned and who could pass as a fairly dark-skinned white person. And so she never really admitted to being Indian because she grew up in Oklahoma, born in the late 20s. It was not good time to be, you know, an American Indian in Oklahoma. And, you know, she married my grandfather, who was of English descent. And so all of the children, you know, kind of white on that side. And I'm very white because my mother is from Norway, her grandparents from Norway. Her parents, things came from Norway. But I grew up with all siblings who look nothing like me. So my siblings, being half siblings, the ones who look a little more like me and are very light-skinned, I didn't grow up with. But the ones that I did are quite dark because they're half Polynesian. And my brother, the difference between him being out all summer and him like in winter was huge. Like the difference between me being out all, I could be out in the sun all day long, and me without any sun isn't that big of a difference. For him, it was huge. In fact, his dad and all of the pictures of his dad and my mom, that was my mom's first marriage, he looks black. He is very, very dark. And he was thought of as black by many people in America. My mother, you know, saw that as well. And so I grew up with that. Those are all my siblings. And so I the reaction I got is I never looked like any of them. Other than my mother, I didn't look like any of my siblings. And like, so if they knew me, if they met me, if they knew me first, they'd go, oh, he doesn't look like you. Or if they knew him, they'd say, hey, your brother doesn't look like you. Yeah, we know. We kind of understand that. And so I've kind of seen it how people who are seen as minorities, as many of my family are, how I've seen it kind of from how people respond to them from the outside. They didn't respond to me that way. I haven't endured all what my grandmother did. I haven't endured what my siblings have. But I've seen it. I've been around it. I've witnessed it. And I know it's different. And so I have a pretty sensitive soul and heart to these issues. But understand that as we talk about here and talk about, he says, we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. And he goes on even that we're persecuted, but not forsaken. The great thing about Christ and what he offers us is that we can, we can't leave behind all of our experiences in this life, but we can attempt to overcome them with Christ. We can attempt on a daily basis to renew ourselves and to understand others, because that's what we are called to do. And so we're called to be different than just who we are or the experiences we've had. We're called to be considerate and honorable and respectful of other people, and to understand and to hear and listen. And so when we think about putting on that new self, this is part of the daily to-do list that all of us have to do, because what we're looking for is really what this image up here talks about. That word transformation, used in a few places, especially in Romans 12, it is the word for going from, you know, creating a butterfly from that ugly little, you know, caterpillar. Some of the caterpillars are really colorful and kind of pretty, but they're kind of disgusting looking to me anyway. And so you don't really want to touch them. But then they become these beautiful butterflies. Now it's a flying bug, I guess. But that transformation, that word for what they go through, that metamorphosis, that's the word used for us and what we are supposed to do in being renewed daily. We are supposed to be going through a transformation. It's more than just a little change. It is putting on a different self, a new self. And so in Colossians chapter 3, in the first 10 verses there, He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And so he's telling us, we need to, if we really want to be Christians, we have to seek those things that Christ has shown us, that he died for and gave his life for. And he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So first off, in order to put new stuff on, so I don't know about you, but when you wake up in the morning, you know, or very often you go to bed at night, you tend to take off the clothes you've been wearing that day. Maybe you put on pajamas or whatever. And then in the morning, maybe you take off the pajamas, you put on the clothes, right? We have to take off often the old self to put on the new self. We don't just cover it up so that that decaying, rotting old self stays with us. We're trying to cut that out. We are trying to recognize the things in us that are not godly. And we're trying to get rid of them so that we can have place for and put on Christ. And so we get rid of the sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. That, you know, that just, I just want stuff. Coveting, I want stuff. Whatever that stuff might be. And it comes in lots of fashion, a lot of forms. And a lot of the things that we might desire, they're not evil of themselves, but very often the desire for stuff leads us down paths that are not healthy. They're not good. They're not godly. They're not edifying, and they're not helping us. And so he says, you have to put all that stuff away. He says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. So Paul left nobody out. And the truth is, none of us here get left out either. All of us have walked in ungodliness. We have all practiced it. Doesn't matter whether you grew up going to church and you were taught the scriptures from a young age or not. You did not become godly simply by showing up to a building or even being read scripture. And you did not become godly simply by knowing Scripture. Because I hear it all the time, people that talk about, oh yeah, I know the truth. That's true, and the truth can set you free. But it doesn't transform you without you doing the work of putting off the old stuff, the bad stuff it keeps telling you about. And putting on the good stuff it also is telling you about. And so if you don't do that process with the truth, you remain the old self and are not raised up and not transformed. And so he says, we all walked in them, but now, verse 8, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Are there not times that we feel angry and wrathful? And are there not times when it is even justified? And yet, more often than not, human beings, as James talks about, we don't react in godliness when we are acting in anger. See, God can be angry and God can act and not sin because he was angry. For human beings, that's a very difficult thing to do, which is why he warns us to don't let the sun go down on your anger. Get rid of it today so that you don't harbor it and hold it and let that bitterness continue to twist us and keep the dead man alive. And so he says, put away all that anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. That's a continuous process that we continue to do. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And so putting on the new self is Jesus. Jesus is the image that we are trying to put on. And Jesus didn't interact with people the way almost everybody expected. even his own apostles often didn't quite understand. You know, when Jesus was rejected by a Samaritan village, his apostles said, "You want us to call fire down on them, burn them up." In some translations, it says he stopped them. Well, they all say he stopped them, but some translations add that he said, "You don't really know what attitude is not the right word. You don't really understand the proper attitude from me," and they didn't. They didn't understand why he wasn't there to destroy those who didn't listen to him. And he talks about that. He wasn't there to destroy. People were already on a path of destruction. He had come to try and help them, to try them pull them up out of it. And so when he had prostitutes touching him, touching his feet, rubbing his feet, and the people around him that stood there, you know, who kind of self-righteous, who acted like, "Oh, if he only knew how kind of what a bad person that was, you know, touching him, he wouldn't allow her to touch him." But he knew who that person was. He understood her sins. He understood what she was. He didn't have any problem with her touching him because he didn't interact with people the way people expected. He didn't treat people the way others expected. He didn't interact in situations often the way people expected, because this was God living like one of us, and God was different. He was different than everybody. And that's what we are trying to put on. That's the transformation, Christ living in us. And so, and I doubt any of you would admit, maybe you've thought it. I know I've heard somebody tell me that some brother in another state one time had told them that they don't think they sinned hardly at all in a year's time. Wow, I don't know quite that thinking, and I doubt that a week goes by that I don't fail. And so I don't know how he sees it and how his definition of falling short and sin is, but it doesn't mesh with my understanding very well. And so maybe he thought he's put on the whole image of Christ. And so he just kind of, every year, he's that good. Now, the friend who was telling me this, who was a fellow elder of his in this congregation, and didn't think that way either. But the idea that we sometimes can fall into is that we're fine. And the truth is, we're not. None of us have gotten there, reached it. None of us have fully put on Christ in every way. Paul himself, and I get, when we look in Scripture, especially with Paul, is there anybody who sacrificed more, who did more, who emulated more of that attitude and loving kindness toward all people than Paul, other than Jesus? I don't hardly read about them. And yet he himself talked about having to press on, having to leave behind all of the sins, leave it behind all of the attitudes so that he could press on and live for Christ. And so you and I have the same thing to do. Put away, so when we get up, so I got to get up tomorrow. I have to call my HOA because they've sent me two letters in the last week. First one, I had no idea why they sent it to me, because they all had was a picture in it. And I'm like, okay, I don't know, maybe the grass is a little long. And so but it was mowed, so I got a second one. They said it was the second notice, and okay, so I've got to call them. I don't particularly love HOAs. First time I've lived in one with an HOA. And so I have to put aside my dislike for HOAs as I call, because the person I'm going to talk to isn't in control of the HOA. They didn't write the rules. They didn't do all those things. And so I need to emulate, and I've got a lot of don't put that stuff off. A lot of what I might think are silly rules, silly kind of, you know, restrictions. I've got to put them off so I can talk the way God would want me to talk to the person. So that's my challenge tomorrow morning, is letting you know. And so you will have challenges like that. It might be when you get up to go and drive to work tomorrow And you know you're going to run into all those terrible drivers, and it's going to frustrate you. And you maybe get aggressive in driving. What are you going to do? You going to give them grace, or are you going to be aggressive? And so we all have these things to do on a daily basis. Remind ourselves of the things to put off and the things to put on. And so I want to kind of go into this next segment. We're going to stay right here to put on love. Starting in verse 11, and I want you to notice this, and I kind of stopped at 10 for a reason, because verse 11 I think really hits at kind of what we're dealing with in our culture right now. Kind of we see, you know, the death of, you know, people that it shouldn't happen, and we wonder why, and we try to figure out, and it's upsetting. And so it's upsetting many in our country right now, and I understand. And I hope, though, we find some progress to, especially there are communities, some of our communities, some of us live in communities where we don't fear police, but I know there are communities that fear police. Whether that fear is right or not right, it's still there. And so we need to understand it. Try to figure out how we can overcome it. How can we find peace? How can we live in peace? Because without us trying to live in peace, Hebrews tells us we're not going to be with the Father if we don't try to live peaceably with all people. And that's on us as Christians. And so he says, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And so he's telling us that Christ has taken down all the worldly barriers. Last week I talked about the central point of last week was human beings' tendency to have us versus them. Not just that, okay, I'm different from another person, right? We understand that. So there's me and there's you. Us versus them is simply the plural of that. So my family, your family. And it's not just an identification of us and them. It is the fear, the versus that often happens between us. So that it often becomes us versus them. And so sometimes the prejudice that happens between groups, and it occurs in all countries, pretty much all over the world, there is an us and there is a them. And people and human beings have been doing this from the beginning of time. And it is something we have to try and overcome as Christians, because that's what this passage is talking about. The Christians had this trouble. The Apostle Peter had this trouble. Even decades after Christ had died, Peter himself got caught up in not eating with Gentiles. It was tough for Jews who became Christians to sit down and eat with Gentiles and eat the kinds of foods they ate, because they didn't have those traditions. There was a great deal of prejudice between these groups. Romans, Jews, Greeks, Jews. And that's what actually talking about here, Greek and Jew. And that's the way the Jews saw it. The Jews saw Jews and all of them. And they called the Greeks was really them. But from a Roman perspective, there were the barbarians who lived on the outskirts of the Roman Empire. The Scythians, the slaves and the free, all these ways of dividing people up. And he says, that's not okay. I read somebody's sharing of a story of a brother of ours. I shared one story from a brother of ours who's dealt with kind of this racism all his life, you know, growing up. I don't remember who it was, but shared a story of a man who actually is a preacher in churches, who actually had been invited and showed up at churches sometimes to kind of try out for a job. But in talking to him on the phone, didn't realize he was black, and they get there and they ask him, please, you know, no. White congregation. And so in churches, it happens too. And it's not okay. And the churches We keep acting like it is. But it's not. And that attitude of, like, oh. Now, I not want to kind of broad brush whole groups, especially whole sections of the country, but I remember a good friend of mine, in high school who was black, who we'd grown up together in California. And California is a little different than some states in the South. So she was visiting a cousin. And so her cousin and her walking on the sidewalk one day. And some white people were walking the other direction. This happened in like late 70s, about 1980, 79, right in there. And her cousin stepped off the sidewalk into the gutter. And she said, hey, you got to step down. Why? And she, because white people were coming. She was stunned by that. She wouldn't do it, by the way. She just kept walking. But that was that's what they've grown up with in certain places. That was expected and understood. It's not okay. It's not okay in our churches. And that's what he's telling us here. Christ is all and in all. And us dividing up, even, as I mentioned last week, sometimes as people did in the first century, they were even using the apostles and Christ himself to divide themselves up as Christians. Well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, you know, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. So that tendency, just because we become Christians, doesn't necessarily leave. We have to really fight it. And we've got to fight it on a lot of fronts, whoever the us versus them is. You know, I think a lot of times Christians find it as, you know, one religion versus another religion, or find it as, you know, even within churches that might generally agree. You know, there are certain ways to kind of divide up, and you start labeling everything. It's a real human tendency, one we have to fight and we have to put off so that we can put on Christ. And he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. So this is one also to your do list. So remember in your to-do list, say, put off the old bad stuff. And you can list all that if you want. And then here's the good stuff. You need to put on a compassionate heart. Do you have compassion for other people like Christ did for the people who were killing him? Christ, as he prayed to God that the sins they were committing against him would not be held against them. As Christ prayed that hanging upon the cross, most of us don't have that kind of compassion for other people. That in the midst of them hurting us, we're praying for their well-being. We're praying for God to not hold it against them. But that's the kind of compassion he had. That's the kind of compassion we need. And he says we need to have kindness, humility. Don't think of ourselves as better than others. Meekness. Meekness is often thought of as weak. Meekness is not weak. In the Old Testament, Moses is mentioned as the meekest man alive. When you read about Moses, does he read like a wallflower weakling? No. Seems like a really strong guy. But the word meek actually means under control. He had control. And his control was under God. And so that's what he's asking for us, to be controlled and under God's reign and authority. And that we are patient, that we bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, we're forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love. Because it really is the thing that combines them all together. He says, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, so anything you say or anything you do, do it, everything, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what we as Christians were called to transform to. That's not who we are. Naturally, it's not who we were when we became Christians. It's not who we are right now. fully yet, but it's who we continue to transform into being. And we have to keep putting off that old and to put on that new. And finally, just wanted this last passage, and we're going to end here. I kind of understood this was going to be a little longer than I wanted, but let love be genuine, he told us in Romans chapter 12. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. This is a really interesting line, and it's actually kind of mirrored in a line in Colossians. Actually, 2 Corinthians 8, 21 says some very similar things. This phrase, give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. We want to honor God and do what is honorable in God's sight. But he actually also tells us to do what is honorable in other people's view as well. That we want to do that also. Sometimes those two things conflict. And we find ourselves unable to do them both, right? What they call good, what God calls good, are at odds. And I can only obey one or the other. But if they're not at odds, I'm trying to obey both. It's why we've gone out of our way here to try and meet as much as we can as God has asked us to and commanded us to. And I think we only missed 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you know, in there. I know lots of other churches have missed a lot more time of being able to gather, but we have also tried to implement what our governments have recommended so that we are trying to do what is right in the sight of those around us, especially those leaders that we are supposed to pray for in our country. And so, give thought. And in that passage in 2 Corinthians 8, 21, it says, "For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man." We are trying to do that which other people see as right. I want to understand it. I want to do it if I am able. That's what he's asking from us. That's a big, big hurdle. That's a big, big change from who we are, and especially from our culture around us who just says, be you, do you. No, don't be you and don't do you. Do Christ. Quit doing you. Because you isn't any good. Me isn't any good. All of us are who we are, and we are all fallen and broken. And we need to put that one away to be him. And so, he says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's hard. And we have to make a concerted effort every day to put off the old, to put off the self, to put off the us, and put on him. That's tough. And, you know, almost 60 years of it, and almost, you know, 40 years, I guess, of it as a Christian, and even 25 or so as a preacher, I still find it tough. This isn't easy. He's asked us to do something that's hard. It's worth it, though. It's worthwhile. And it's necessary to give God the glory and to love so that our love for everybody comes from him, not us. That's why we shine this light from these broken vessels, from these jars of clay. Because it didn't come from us. It didn't come from our minds or our thoughts or our heart. It came from God. So we're going to end there. Appreciate everybody and your coming today. We're going to sing a song to close out. It's number 29 in the songbooks, right? Or supplement. So 29 in the supplements we're going to sing to close out. It'll also be up here, already there. We'll sing that to close out. We're not asking people to come forward, but we still offer an invitation to anybody in need. If you are here, or even if you're at home watching us, send us a message, send us a text, send us an email. Let us know how we can serve you, how we can help you. Let us know what you need. And if there's anything within our power to serve you or help you in any way, we want to do that. So please let us know how we can serve you as together we stand and sing.